of Ephesians. Sermon number two coming. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start there. When we talk about revival, we're going to have revival meetings next week. And I on purpose did not start another one of our big picture Bible studies tonight because I knew we were going to have a gap. I knew I wouldn't get done. I've understood myself well enough to know that I don't get it done in a week, all right? So I said, not even trying. But it's most appropriate for us to just set our minds, I think, in preparation for revival. And this is going to, Lord willing, the reason I'm doing this now in the order of service tonight is it's going to give us some things to pray for one another. What is revival? What do we talk about when we say revival? Well, I know that a lot of times historically there's some ambiguity because the word revival is not in our, I don't know that, well, it talks about revive a few times in the New Testament and so forth, but we don't see that exact phrase in what we think of as revival. Sometimes we think of meetings where a special preacher comes in and many people get saved, and we think we call that revival. And that's fine that we call it that. But really, that's regeneration. And so in some respects, next week should be regeneration week, not just revival week, all right? We're going to have regeneration meetings. Bring your unsaved. I know that Dr. Savinsky will share the gospel. I don't know if you've ever caught it, but often I try, and this is, I'm not the only one, by the way, many pastors do this. They will help the evangelist by telling the evangelist, we've got guests tonight. And my knowledge of the guests are not saved. They like to know that so they can, and because they preach their sermons more than once, they've got them, and that's okay with me, by the way. They're fine-tuned, but they know where they can put the gospel in and share it clearly, those kinds of things. So, Lord willing, next week will be not only revival meetings, but regeneration meetings. Wouldn't it be a joy to see someone saved next week? Let's be doing our part, obviously. But that's, in a biblical term, that's not revival. In many ways, they didn't have spiritual life first. They were dead in their trespasses and sin. They were given life. That's regeneration. So when we talk about revival, we're talking really about something that's going on in the hearts and lives of believers that already have life, and they need to be stirred up. And that concept is right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 23. And then we're going to backtrack from that. But I want you to see the word that we're focusing on. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That word renewed talks about becoming, in other literature in the Greek language, that would talk about becoming young again. To make new. To give new strength or vigor to. Have you ever been terribly sick where you just can't get up off your sick bed? And then you get well. You are revived. All right, that's the sense and idea. One of the reasons we have revival meetings, it's not just to bring in the lost, though that is critical and so important, and we need to not be unfaithful in that. But it's also for us to be revived, to add new vigor and life to our spiritual walk with the Lord. We have a tendency as humans to kind of get in our ruts, don't we? I'm not blaming you for that. That's reality. The other side of the coin is life is pretty hard at times. It really beats us down. And so we come to a point in our life of a church that we want to just stop and on purpose set aside some time where we can focus on God's Word. And an evangelist, a bearer of good news. What is good news? Well, it's not just something that tickles my ears, but that's something that helps me grow spiritually, that revives me. That's good, isn't it? So it's not just evangelizing, sharing the good news, but living. Can I put it that way? Living the good news. And that's what's supposed to happen next week. Now, so in the broad sense of the term, that verse 23 here is really the center focus of Paul's paragraph here in Ephesians 4. There are, what I see in this passage that Paul will share, really three parts of revival. Three parts. Let's start all the way back at verse number 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. Now let's place this. Remember, we've just come off of, and we just recently looked at this, the unity of the body of Christ. We talked about it, that's why, Sunday morning in Sunday school when we were all together. Remember, we talked about church membership, okay? And we talked about being a part of a body, And we're all growing in the Lord up into our head, Jesus Christ, right? Becoming like Him. That's verses, you know, 10 or 7, actually, all the way down through verse number 16. Now He's going to kind of just remind them where they've been. This I say there, verse 17 again, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they've lost all sensitivity to spiritual matters, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. All right, what an amazing description of the sinful world. Now notice, Paul here is talking to Christians. And the reminder is that we can slip back into our old ways. So he says, this I say there, verse 17, testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk that way anymore. So then we come to verse 20. He says this, all right, we're down there. But ye have not so learned Christ. This is, if I can put it this way, the Anderson translation of verse 20, this is not the Christ life. It's not walking in the vanity of your mind and having your understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God. That's the flesh life. And yet, how often daily struggle with that life, consuming us and taking us over again. So, goes on, if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Christ. This, and he's going to say in verse 21, he's basically introducing, what is the Christ life? How do I overcome this flesh life? What have you learned and heard and been taught of Christ? Verse 22, that ye put off. So, three parts of revival. The first part is repentance. I would encourage you maybe to write that note on the side of verse 22, repentance. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. God calls us to take off like an old dirty garment. The old life, the life of the flesh, that we have a tendency to want to throw back on again. So, turn from your sin. Part of revival is acknowledging and seeing where there's sin in my life, being willing to let the Spirit of God bring conviction about sin in my life, and I'm saying, I'm turning from it. I'm repenting. Confess your sins, one to another. Yes, do that too. Confess. 1 John 1:9, help me with this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, no, that's not it either. If we confess, isn't that terrible? Okay, I didn't get the first note. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the first part of repentance, of revival. Acknowledgement. So, this coming week, don't be afraid of this. The Lord loves you. Don't be afraid to pray, Lord, would you point out sins in my life that may be there that I'm ignoring? There have been several times in my life where I have justified sin. I've had biblical reasons even at times. It's our mind is so wicked and deceitful. And I will never forget the days when God finally arrested my attention, and I'm forever, eternally grateful for God's grace in that, that God graciously still convicted my heart, and when I finally acknowledged and said, I'm sinning. And your heart is so, you're overwhelmed with how you've offended your loving Savior and God. But that moment of forgiveness, it's a spiritual joy. And so don't be afraid, because God is doing you good. That's good news from the evangelist. If the Spirit of God is convicting you about a sin, don't resist it. Say, Lord, forgive me. Say amen to it. Okay, I see that that's wrong in my life. I am so glad that God still convicts me of sin, because I want to walk close to Him. I need Him desperately. So that's a part of revival, is repentance. And then we come to verse 23, so we repent, and then verse 23, and be renewed, all right? If you want to use or circle the word renewed there, that's the word revived. God wants to, and by the way, this is something that He does. He's the only one that can renew us. You don't gin this up. We don't have to somehow create a revival in our heart. Aren't you glad? That's emotion, that's feeling. and that will pass away quickly. No, this is God's work. That word renew is what we call it's in passive. And so God is doing it on us. He is one that's regenerating us in the sense of reviving us, giving us a new heart for Him again. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God wants us to grow in Him and make new again our walk with Him and our spiritual growth. There are times in a time of a dry season that a tree stops growing. We've probably all experienced, or you see the corn dry out. Farmers at times have prayed. You're getting into the middle of summer and all of a sudden the corn's coming on. I mean, the kernels need to start growing and there's been no rain. And you start seeing a little bit of the seed. You watch the corn and the leaves start curling in. It's trying to do everything it can to protect that fruit that's going to come, the corn. It's doing everything, and you're praying for rain. There has been a dryness. And this is talking about when God sends rain spiritually, we repent of our sins. We're refreshed in our walk with Him. We're feeding on God's Word. The Spirit of God's illuminating our heart, and we're growing in Christ again. That's renewal. And we need to pray that God next week will renew us spiritually, that we'll be revived and reinvigorated, re-energized by His Spirit. It's not a self-work. It's a God work in us, that we'll allow the Spirit of God to work in us. And so, and then what happens in verse 24? And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have repentance, renewal. Now I call it recreation. Recreation. God wants us again to put on righteousness and true holiness. That's the garb that looks right on the Christian. It's the other image is putting on the image of Christ, growing up into our head, Jesus Christ, and so forth. Believer, every area of your life, every region of your life, every part of your heart, soul, mind, all right, needs to be garbed in, put on righteousness and true holiness. There is everything right about being recreated, made new and fresh again in the work of God in our life. And that means that every part of my life needs to be affected by righteousness. So, what often happens in revival is does it mean that you're just a wicked, filthy, rotten sinner in every aspect of your life? No, generally not, especially the folks that are here tonight. You love the Lord, you're here. You're wanting to grow, you've sacrificed. And yet, all of us admit that there's probably some areas where we have neglected or we're ignoring, and we need to be open and ready for God's Spirit through His Word. Right? It's not some kind of mystical happening. As the Word of God is preached and declared, we hear it, God's Spirit convicts us, we repent, we let Him work in our heart to challenge us to start growing in Him, renewed, and then we put on in that area the robe of righteousness and true holiness. And in that area of conviction, whatever it is, we begin to look like our Savior more, grow in Him. Isn't that neat? To me, that's a wonderful picture for me. So, He does the great work in my heart, and then He helps me put on that robe of righteousness, and I look like, act like, think like, be like Jesus Christ. So that's revival. So Lord willing, by the end of next week, by Thursday of next week, every one of us, no exceptions, will have experienced some area of revival in our heart. That the Lord has challenged us about something. If it's a matter of sin, we've confessed it. And He's given the freedom to then work in our life again, to revive us, to give us life again spiritually. And then we put principles in our life and we maybe make it a matter of prayer that we revive. Now, I'm not quite done. What are we supposed to do to help that process? Well, if you go to chapter 6, this is an amazing story. That process, and he's dealing in chapter 6, at the end of chapter 6, with the armor of God. You see, as I walk in renewed spirit and putting on true righteousness and holiness, I will face opposition. Satan, his hosts, my flesh, the devil, sin will be against me, and I have to war daily. That's a part of the revival life, if I can put it that way, is really a daily battle against sin. All right, so I put on the armor of God. But notice our resource, and that's where it comes to tonight. Why we're going to spend some extra minutes in prayer tonight. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he goes on, for me that utterance may be given unto me. Verse 18 is a part of the whole list, really. It is not separated. It's actually another, that word praying is right. It really refers all the way back to take upon you the whole armor of God. And how do you do that? Well, you stand, therefore, having your loins girt about to truth. So that verse 14, standing, there's an imperative, the command. And how do I stand? Well, put all these things on and then pray. And notice how all the alls and the always in verse 18, isn't that something? Praying always. That actually is a one-word English translation of, I think it's three Greek words there. And it talks about in all times or in all seasons. It's a time word. All right. Every time, in times of joy, in times of sorrow, in times of struggle, in times of growth, in times of desperation, always praying, always, because the battle is always, isn't it? We're always going to be fighting Satan and the flesh, the principalities of this air. All right. Always in this life. So we got to pray always. And then do it with all prayer and supplication. Those are two words that can somewhat be synonymous, but what he's trying to point out is in every way pray. Right? Sometimes it's in joy, and so you're worshiping the Lord, and you're thanking Him for things, and other times it's terrible requests, and then there's times of deep burden, supplication, where you're just begging God, Lord, I need You, I need Your help here. So in every form of prayer and communication with God, all right. So always, every form, in the Spirit, all right. There's discussion among commentators if he's talking about in my Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. It somewhat comes to the same end as I have engaged my heart and mind in the work of prayer ministry. I must need the Spirit's help, all right. That's Romans chapter 8. The Spirit helps us in our prayer. Watching thereunto. And just like a man that sets a watch is always on guard. That's the idea. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Steadfastness is the idea. Never giving up. Never giving up. And supplication with all perseverance and supplication, earnest prayer for every saint. Everyone that we know. Now, obviously the application, I think, is directly for every saint that you know. Too often we pray, you know, we can have a tendency. I hope we don't. I hope you've grown in your spiritual walk. We pray for all the lost in, you know, whatever country to get saved. Or pray for all the missionaries over there. Well, you don't know them. All right? Yes. And God knows they have needs. But we neglect often to pray for all of us here. Can I challenge your heart for just 1 minute? So when was the last time you prayed? You look around here. When was the last time you prayed for that person? Has it been months? Well, I pray for the church every day. No. Thank you. I mean, that's fine. But when did you last pray for Claire and Sylvia, Dave and Barb, and my wife and I? And you understand? You see, that is a part of the ministry that we have to one another, and that can create a wonderful week of revival. So, this tonight, the rest of the night, as we go and pray over our prayer requests, let's pray for revival. I would encourage you, as you get into groups of I think three should be a minimum tonight. If I can encourage you to do that, I'm not going to force your hand. But foursomes are great. So a couple of couples get together, you know, across a couple pews. Just pray for one another there. You take your turn and pray for a revival and who your prayer partner is that night. And then let us earnestly pray for one another this coming week. I encourage you, again, grab that buzz book. And make sure you've gone through the entire buzz book by the time we come to next Thursday. Praying for every individual there that God will help us see a wonderful week where we repent of our sins, where we allow the Spirit of God to renew our minds, where we put on, we are recreated in the image of God, putting on righteousness and true holiness. So, it's a great part of our guarding against and fighting against Satan and the forces of evil. It's our prayer. So that's what we need to do tonight. Okay, so I'm done. You folks, pray. We are not in a hurry tonight. It's 7 minutes till 8. You know that we don't normally get done at 8 anymore. We usually like 5 after or so. I push sometimes 10 after almost. So don't feel like you've got to be done in 7 minutes. I encourage you. Get into groups of foursomes or so. and spend the next 15, 20 minutes in prayer. And enjoy that time as we pray specifically for revival. All right, let's go to prayer. I will not close. When you're done, you can just quietly slip out. Keep the doors closed so that the noise out there doesn't get drawn in here until we're all done in here. Choir, we will have a rehearsal later. Let's go to prayer.